is going to read our scripture passage now.
Please rise in body or spirit. Our reading today is Matthew 14, 22 to 33. Immediately after this, Jesus told his disciples to get into their boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he stayed to get the people started home. Then afterwards, he went up into the hills to pray. Night fell, and out on the lake, the disciples were in trouble, for the wind had risen and they were fighting heavy seas. About 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. They screamed in terror, for they thought he was a ghost. But Jesus immediately spoke to them, reassuring them. "Don't be afraid," he said. Then Peter called to him, "Sir, if it is really you, tell me to come over to you, walking on the water." "All right," the Lord said, "come along." So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and rescued him. "Oh, man of little faith," Jesus said, "why did you doubt me?" And when they had climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The others sat there, awestruck. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Well, as evidenced by the kayak that sits in the middle of the sanctuary, you can probably surmise that Dale and I are paddlers, kayakers to be specific. We have two plastic kayaks. The other one is more of a fishing kayak. And then Dale has a wooden kayak that he built for himself. And if you'll do the next slide, this is us on Mother's Day. My son and his wife have a canoe. And then those are our three kayaks. You can see Dale's wooden one in the back. He's especially proud of that. The wooden one, by the way, only goes on lakes. It is very narrow. It is a lot longer than the other ones. And Dale doesn't want it to get all beaten up on the rocks that are on the river. And plus, it is a sea kayak, not a river kayak. And so on the wavy waters, that one doesn't fare quite as well. However, it is, of all three, it is the smoother of the kayaks and the fastest of all of them. So we enjoy paddling. We used to canoe until we got kayaks, and we like kayaking even better. As I told you with the kids, you actually sit lower in the water. In this particular kayak, you sit really low, and the water's kind of all around you. And it gives me a feeling, of being one with the water, right there inside the water. And each stroke is this sort of gentle stroke, or you can actually paddle it pretty aggressively and get a workout. It's good for the abs, by the way, the core, if you're into that thing. But it's also nice to just gently paddle the kayak and just get this feeling. One of our favorite things to do is paddle for a while and then just be in the middle of the lake, sort of letting the wind and the waves, the water, sort of take us wherever the water takes us. It's this oneness with the water that sort of gets us back into this feeling of the power of nature. But the challenges with paddling, we'll say, okay, it'll be Thursday, and we'll say, we should go paddling on Saturday. And we wake up on Saturday morning, and we look at the trees, which are battering back and forth, and we know it's not a good day for paddling because if it's windy in town, it's even windier on the lake. And unless we can get on the side where the wind's coming from and get some break from the trees, it's actually really challenging and to paddle on choppy and rough waters. But this particular boat is nearly impossible to tip. It's wide enough and short enough that it's difficult to tip that particular kayak. When we lived in Mason City, up north in northern Iowa, Clear Lake is a lake that's about 9 miles away. Anybody know Clear Lake? Some of you? A lot of you, actually. And it's a pretty wide open lake. In contrast to Lake McBride, which is actually, since we moved down here, we tend to paddle McBride a little bit on Coralville Reservoir. But Lake McBride is kind of the skinny, snaky thing, but Clear Lake is this wide open thing. And so we'd always have to, if we were going to go paddling, we'd always have to decide where's the wind and where do we want to paddle. We'd go in according to where the wind was coming from and judge accordingly. One time when we were paddling, it seemed really calm, and we were paddling, and we'd gone from in town City Park in Clear Lake, and paddled to State Beach, which was heading south along the shore, and it seemed like it was a nice day for paddling. But when we turned around to go back north, a couple things had happened. First of all, we didn't realize it was as windy as it was, and actually the wind had picked up, and the weather was starting to change, and the waves were getting choppier, and it was getting harder and harder to paddle back to shore. Dale was especially fearful because, as I said, his kayak isn't quite as stable as mine, and he was really rocking and rolling in there, and not as confident in the water as me. Is that safe to say? Sorry, Dale. I was pretty secure in my ability to not tip, but I know that he was not as secure as I was. And so we were trying to get back to shore, but the wind kept wanting to push us farther and farther out into the water. The one thing that helped us is that we had parked our car underneath a water tower, if you want to do that one. So we were parked kind of just to the right of there, and we had gone down that direction on the lake. And we kept focusing on that water tower, just kept paddling towards the water tower. And as we got distracted by the waves around us and the wind, we'd get off track, and then we'd look back at the water tower and keep going back. Because it was overwhelming. The waves were getting bigger. The wind was getting stronger. Eventually, we were heading back and made it. In Matthew's gospel today that Twyla read, we heard the story of the disciples and their experiences on a boat. While Jesus remained on the shore to pray, kind of wrap things up after he'd been teaching along the shore, he sent the disciples out on the boat. He needed some time to himself, needed some Sabbath for himself to pray and reconnect with God. And so they were on the Sea of Galilee, if you want to do the next one. So a little bit about the Sea of Galilee. This is actually a picture of the Sea of Galilee, looking to the east from the western shore. There are places where you can't see across the Sea of Galilee, but mostly you can. And one of the things that you need to know about the Sea of Galilee then and now is that it's 680 feet below sea level. And so when it's calm, it's really calm, but it's surrounded by mountains and hills, and the highest are on the east and reach about 2,000 feet. And so if the wind's going to come, it's going to come off the mountains, and it's going to whip up that lake a lot. And that happens frequently on the Sea of Galilee. It usually heads right to the middle of the lake and churns it from the middle and works it outward. And so storms can kind of come out of nowhere because of the topography of the land around it. And it's very dry, but it's very dry around the Sea of Galilee, but directly around the lake, it's actually tropical. And so I'm going to get all science-y on you for a minute. For those of you that are into science, when dry air meets cold air, we have what? Rain or storms, okay? And so that frequently happens as the wind changes and the dry air meets with that cool, that damper air, that moist air. The storms can churn up, and the temperatures, there's vast temperature differences around the Sea of Galilee and up in the hills. And so this sort of funnel effect is what happens in the Sea of Galilee. So when they got in their boat, probably it was fairly calm, and went out to sea, and then this sort of weather changed, and the storms started to whip up. You notice, I don't know if you remember, there's another story kind of like this where Jesus is asleep on the boat, and a storm whips up, and the disciples are upset, and they go to Jesus and say, "We're going to all die here. Do something." And so Jesus calms the sea. But this is the story of Jesus on the shore and the disciples out in the boat. And this wind kind of whips up while they're on the boat. And Matthew tells us that in the middle of the night, the disciples see Jesus decide to come to the boat, and they see him walking out on water. Now, he's out a ways in the Sea of Galilee a ways. So Jesus is walking from shore. Now, you can probably, if they're close to shore, you can probably get your head around that. But if you're in the middle of the water, and the deepest part of the Sea of Galilee is 200 feet deep, it's going to be a little unsettling to see somebody walking towards you. And so naturally they thought that it was a ghost walking on the water. They were afraid of ghosts, kind of like our culture is too. But to calm their fears, Jesus immediately spoke to them and said, "Do not be afraid." Common words in the Bible, do not be afraid. And Peter, if you remember Peter, true to himself and true to the things that we see in the Bible, he's constantly challenging Jesus. And he says, "Well, sir, if it's really you, tell me to come over to you walking on the water." And, you know, he's kind of like, "I'm not sure it's really you, so prove it to me that it's really you." And I really like Jesus's response. Jesus simply says, "Come. Come to me." That's Jesus's way of saying, I got this. I can handle this. If you want to walk on water, I've got this. I can handle it for you. Come. It's really kind of that same word that Jesus used for his disciples when he was calling them to be disciples. Remember when he met them when they were fishing along the shore? Jesus said, "Come. Follow me, come." That same simple request of coming to Jesus. Simple and direct, but enough to calm Peter's nerves for him to get out of the boat and start walking towards Jesus. Start walking on that probably 200 foot deep water towards Jesus. Remember, they're not probably by shore too much. Have you ever had that kind of experience where you think it's a good idea, you think, I'm going to do this one thing, and it's a good idea, and it might be a kind of a risky experience, but you think, I can do this, and you start doing it, and then in the midst of it, you think, what was I thinking, right? You've done that, right? And you start to rethink that whole thing. It sounded like a good idea at the beginning, but what was I thinking? This is really not a good idea. And so that's what happens to Peter. He realizes he's walking on water. He starts to look to the left, and he starts to look to the right, and around him are these big waves, and the wind is blowing, and he has forgotten that he's supposed to be focusing on Jesus. And the minute he stops looking at Jesus and starts looking at the waves on the left and the right and behind him, he starts to sink. Because that's what happens when we decide that we can do something on our own, as we start to sink. He forgot to focus on Jesus, and fear set in for Peter, just like fear sets in for us. And when we let fear set in, our trust in Jesus falters. That's what happened, is he all of a sudden stopped trusting Jesus. He all of a sudden forgot that Jesus said, "Come," forgot that moments ago he was walking on water towards Jesus, and started to sink. In our own lives, we do the same thing. We start focusing on Jesus. We start working on our faith with Jesus. We start trusting in Jesus. And then we look to the left, and there's distractions over here. And we look to the right, and there's distractions over here. And we start to sink. And we forget that we're supposed to focus on Jesus. We're supposed to put our trust first in Jesus, and all this other stuff, all this risky stuff around us will come into play, and we will be protected by it if we just trust in Jesus. Of course, Peter says, "Lord, rescue me," right? Peter starts thinking, "Lord, rescue me." Well, of course, Jesus rescued him. He reached out his hand, pulled him out, and then said, "Yeah, what were you thinking? You didn't trust me. You didn't stay focused on me." Jesus is constantly sending the Holy Spirit into our midst, into the midst of this congregation, into the midst of your individual lives, And Jesus is saying, come, trust in me. Hey, focus on me. I had a kid that was hearing impaired, and one of the things I remembered was, this is the sign for focus. This is what Jesus is saying, focus on me. Don't get sidetracked. Put me first. We're no different than Peter, though, because we think way too much. We think we can go it alone, and we believe that we don't need Jesus for everything. We might need Jesus for the tough things, for the deaths, for the illness, for the hardships in our life. But then on the day-to-day stuff, we think, we really don't need Jesus. Well, we do need Jesus. We need to focus on Jesus all the time. Because when storms rage around us, which they always do, okay, we heard some serious concerns today in our prayer time. We know that the storms of life rage around us. And the only way that we can get focused and stay true and get through the storms is by focusing on Jesus. Jesus promises to be there with us in the storms of our lives and has our backs and will guide us. Will guide us in our boats, guide us in our lives. That day on Clear Lake, the wind was choppy, the waves were big, and Dale and I made it safely back to shore, but only because we kept our focus on that water tower. And I will tell you that in addition to the water tower, I was praying, hoping that we could get back to shore and staying focused and not getting distracted by the fact that the boat was doing this in the waves. It was unsettling. Jesus desires our trust and our focus to be on him. But there are days when it's hard to do that. There are days when there are distractions. What distracts you from staying focused on Jesus? What causes you to start to sink in your own fears and your own despairs? Jesus said to Peter, come. Come. He says that to us too. Come. Focus on me. Will you place Jesus at the forefront and place your focus and your trust on him? Let us pray. Almighty and loving Lord, there's so many fun things all around us, things that we could do, places we could go, people we could be with. And yet, many of them distract us from you. Lord Jesus, help us to put our focus and our trust on you so that when all these distractions come in, we can say, nope, Jesus first. Guide our days, guide our nights. Guide the ministry of this church and the work that we do together. In your holy name we pray. Amen.